Epilogue. Harrowhark Nona Jesimus came around in a nest of sterile white. She was lying on a gurney, wrapped up in a crinkly thermal blanket. She turned her head. Next to her, there was a window, and outside the window was the deep velvet blackness of space. Cold stars glimmered in the far distance like diamonds, and they were very beautiful. If it had been possible to die of desolation, she would have died then and there. As it was, all she could do was lie on the bed and observe the smoking wreck of her heart. The lamps had been turned down to an irritatingly soothing glow, bathing the small room in soft, benevolent radiance. They shone down on her gurney, on the white walls, on the painfully clean white tiles of the floor. The brightest light in the room came from a tall reading lamp positioned next to a metal chair in the corner. In the chair sat a man. On the arm of his chair was a tablet, and in his hands was a sheaf of flimsy, which he would occasionally shuffle and take notes on. He was simply dressed. His hair was cropped close to his head, and in the light it shone a nondescript dark brown. The man must have sensed her wakefulness, for he looked up from his flimsy and his tablet at her, and he shuffled them aside to stand. He approached her, and she saw that his sclera were black as space. The irises were dark and leadenly iridescent, a deep rainbow oil slick ringed with white. The pupils were as glossy black as the sclera. Harrow could never tell precisely how she knew who he was, only that she did. She threw off the rustling thermal blanket. Someone had dressed her in an unlovely turquoise hospital smock and got out of bed, and she threw herself down shamelessly at the feet of the Necromancer Prime, the Resurrection, the God of the Nine Houses, the Emperor Undying. She pressed her forehead down onto the cold, clean tiles. "Please undo what I've done, Lord," she said. "I will never ask anything of you ever again if you just give me back the life of Gideon Nerve."
"I can't," he said.
He had a bittersweet, scratchy voice, and it was infinitely gentle.
"I would very much like to, but that soul's inside you now. If I tried to pull it out, I'd take yours with it and destroy both in the process. What's done is done is done. Now you have to live with it."
She was empty. That was the terrible thing. There was nothing inside her but the sick and bubbling detestation of her house. Even the silence of her soul could not dilute the hatred that had fermented in her from the genesis of the Ninth House downward. Harrowhark picked herself up off the floor and looked her emperor dead in his dark and shining eyes. "How dare you ask me to live with it?" The emperor did not render her down to a pile of ash, as she partway wished he would. Instead, he rubbed at one temple, and he held her gaze, somber and even.
"Because," he said, "the empire is dying."
She said nothing.
"If there had been any less need, you would be sitting back home in Dreaba, living a long and quiet life, with nothing to worry or hurt you, and your cavalier would still be alive. But there are things out there that even death cannot keep down. I have been fighting them since the resurrection. I can't fight them by myself."
Harrow said, "But you're God." And God said,
"And I am not enough."
She retreated to sit on the edge of the bed, and she pulled the hem of her hospital smock down over her knees. He said,
"It wasn't meant to happen like this. I intended for the new lictors to become lictors after thinking and contemplating and genuinely understanding their sacrifice. An act of bravery, not an act of fear and desperation. Nobody was meant to lose their lives unwillingly at Canaan House. But Kitherea."
The emperor closed his eyes.
Kithareya was my fault, he said. She was the very best of all of us, the most loyal, the most humane, the most resilient, the one with the most capacity for kindness. I made her live 10,000 years in pain because I was selfish and she let me. Don't despise her, Harrow. I see it in your eyes. What she did was unforgivable. I can't understand it. But who she was. She was wonderful.
You're awfully forgiving, said Harrow, considering she said she was out to kill you.
I wish she'd said that to me, said the Emperor heavily. If she and I had just fought this out, it would have been a hell of a lot better for everyone.
Harrow was silent.
He seemed lost in thought.
He said presently,
most of my lictors have been destroyed by a war I thought best to fight slowly, through attrition. I have lost my hands, not just to death. The loneliness of deep space takes its toll on anyone, and the necrosants have all put up with it for longer than anybody should ever be asked to bear anything. That's why I wanted only those who had discovered the cost and were willing to pay it in the full knowledge of what it would entail.
All this washed over Harrow's shoulders. She realized immediately that she was a fool, that she was asking the wrong questions and listening to the wrong thing. Who else beside me is alive, Lord?
Ianthe Tridentarius, said the Emperor, minus one arm.
The Sixth House Cavalier was only injured when I left her, said Harrow Hark. Where is she?
We haven't recovered any trace of her, or her body, said the Emperor, nor that of Captain Deuteros of Trentum, nor of the Crown Princess of Ida.
What?
All the houses will have questions tonight, he said. I can hardly blame them. I'm sorry, Harrow, we couldn't recover your cavalier either.
Her brain listed sharply. Gideon's gone.
Everyone else is accounted for, he said. We have had to settle for partial remains of the Seventh House and the Warden of the Sixth. Only you two were confirmed alive. It doesn't help matters that I can't even go down there and search.
Harrow found herself saying distantly, why can't you go back? It seemed to be the whole of Kithareya's plan.
The Emperor said, I saved the world once, but not for me.
Harrow pressed her legs down into the cool metal rib of the gurney. She expected to feel something, but she didn't. She felt nothing at all. There was a great and gnawing emptiness, which was mildly better than feeling something, at least. A tiny voice in the back of her head was saying, someone will burn for this. But it was only ever her own. The Emperor leaned back in his chair, and they looked at each other. He had a ridiculously ordinary face, long jaw, high forehead, hair a dull and leaden brown.
But those eyes, he said, I know you became a lictor under duress.
Some may call it duress, said Harrow.
You aren't the first, said the Emperor. But listen to me. I will do what I haven't done in 10,000 years and renew your house.
How did he know about that?
I'll safeguard the Ninth. I will make sure what happened at Kanan House never happens again. But I want you to come with me. You can learn to be my hand. The Empire can gain another saint, and the Empire needs another saint more than ever. I have 3 teachers for you, and a whole universe for you to hold on to for just a little while longer.
The King Undying had asked her to follow him. All she wanted was to be alone and weep.
Or you can go back home again, he said. I have not assumed you'll agree with me. I will not force you or buy you. I will keep covenant with your house whether you come with me or stay at home." Harrow said, "We can't go home again." There was a vague reflection of her in the window, interrupted by distant space fields pocketed thick with stars. She turned away. If she saw herself in a mirror, she might fight herself. If she saw herself in a mirror, she might find a trace of Gideon Nav. Or worse, she might not find anything. She might find nothing at all. So, the universe was ending. Good. At least, if she failed here, she would no longer have to be beholden to anybody. Harrow touched her cheek, and was surprised to find her fingertips came away wet, and that the Necrolord Prime had chivalrously lowered his gaze. She said, "I will have to go back eventually."
"I know," said the Emperor.
"I need to find out what happened to my cavalier's body. I need to know what happened to the others."
"Of course."
"But for now," said Harrow, "I will be your lictor, Lord, if you will have me."
The Emperor said, "Then rise, Harrow Hark the First."